Isn't it rich? Aren't I a queer? Wait, those are the lyrics, right? Sondheim, everything's about Sondheim. It is Carell Cast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me on this Wednesday, December 1st. Happy World AIDS Day. Do you say that? Is that, I've always had trouble with World AIDS Day, with a virus getting a day. I mean, for 40 years, AIDS has been with us. 1981, baby. I was there. I remember. I've lived through it all. And I got to tell you, lived through it all. Operative word, knock wood, knock anything, knock plaster, knock heads, knock whatever you need to knock something. Okay, so we're going to talk about World AIDS Day today. We also are going to talk about It's the Same Old Effing Story, and how that's actually killing you and the country, that it's the same old effing story. And then there is a show called True Story, number one on Netflix, Kevin Hart. And it takes super fandom to another level. I want to talk about having some experience at that. But right now, thanks to Pam. Thank Pam. Thank you, Pam. Pam just pledged $4.99 a month on Patreon. Thank you so much. Just came through just now. I see it just an email. Pam just pledged $4.99 a month on Patreon. Thank you. So very glad. And if you want to do that, you go to patreon.com/reallycarell. It's how we keep the show going. It's once again, Patreon, Patreon, .com/Carell, Karel. My website is Really Carell. It's going to be relaunched probably next week. A new look, a new feel. The app is going to be redesigned as well. We're moving into 2022, honey. We're taking you with us. All right. So it is World AIDS Day, December 1st. And I don't mean to be flippant about it, but by the way, I can joke. I can do whatever I want to about AIDS. I have been in the trenches with it. And while I am HIV negative as of my last 60, 70, the test came 5 years in. It's been here 40, so set to a year 70. I've had 70 HIV tests. So I've had 2 a year since the test was invented, honey. I've waited those 10 days at the beginning. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But when World AIDS Day happened, a day that was to bring global visibility to the pandemic, and mainly because people like Reagan and Bush and others were not bringing, any kind of fabulosity to the AIDS crisis, meaning they weren't helping. And so that's what World AIDS Day was about, was getting the word out and trying to get rid of the stigma, trying to make everyone know that it's just a virus. It's not a gay disease. Killed more people that were straight than gay, because Sub-Saharan Africa and all this other stuff. So it got World AIDS Day. And I was always weird about that. I was like, well, mumps and measles don't have a day. I mean, if you think about it, no other disease really has a day. There's World AIDS Day today. But I can't think of any other disease. There's Cancer Awareness Month. There's World Cancer Day. I guess we do have it. But the World AIDS Day has always been odd to me because AIDS is a sexually transmitted or blood-borne disease. It's not like a cancer, which, you will yourself into it. But with AIDS, you don't have to get it. I don't have it. I'm HIV negative. Andrew is HIV positive. I've slept with HIV positive people. You don't have to get HIV, but it's not like COVID. AIDS is not nearly as transmissible as COVID, and I have the numbers to prove that. In fact, some of the numbers about AIDS on this World AIDS Day, I think, will astound you. Do you know that AIDS took 40 years to kill 700,000 Americans? That's right. It has now killed 704,000 Americans. AIDS. It only took COVID 2 years to kill 740,000. So in terms of a day, if you're going to give the virus a day, which one seems like it should have its day more? One that killed 700,000 Americans in 40 years or one that killed 740,000 Americans in two? That's how deadly COVID is, by the way. Yes, AIDS is deadly and AIDS is horrible, and I've been through it, and I can't tell you how horrific it is to pass away of an opportunistic infection from HIV, particularly in the early days, okay? Which television has taken great delight now. It's going to be like slavery. AIDS is to the gay community what slavery and the Holocaust is to the Jews, meaning Hollywood has its go-to stories when they want to do a Jewish story or a black story or a gay story. For the Jews, the go-to story is the Holocaust. Schindler's List, this, that, or the other thing. And I'm not saying that they're tired of it, but a lot of them might be tired of it. People who lived through the Holocaust, who are now dead, were probably tired of seeing the Holocaust used in movies. They were like, you know what, we'd like to. But anyway, no one's pain is like yours, right? So for the Jews, it's the Holocaust. That's the go-to Hollywood thing, anti-Semitism and the Holocaust. For blacks, when they want to get dramatic material for the blacks, they go to the slavery. You know, they go, how many movies have been made about slavery of the last 10 years? Really great movies, by the way. Wonderful films that should have been made and should be seen. And I'm not saying that any of these shouldn't be made or seen. I'm simply saying that if you're Jewish and Hollywood wants to make a movie about you, often they'll go to the Holocaust stories, to the German stories. If you're black, they'll go to the slavery stories. And if you're gay, it's the AIDS stories. They're going to the AIDS stories. It's a Sin, Queer as Folk, Will and Grace did a storyline, I believe. Now today we have Tick, Tick, Boom. We have Pose. Oh, yes. Oh, AIDS has become dramatic gold. Which is great. It's making stars out of gays and trans people and all kinds of stuff. That's wonderful. And the story should be told, what my generation has gone through. But it's funny because just like COVID, they acting like AIDS is over. See, these shows are showing the pain that we went through. What about the pain we still going through? People still die of HIV, not as quickly as COVID, but they do. By the way, COVID affects is a different transmission rate. So in other words, AIDS is sexually transmitted or body fluids. COVID is basically airborne. So that's why there's the difference in 700,000 dead in 40 years with AIDS and 740,000 dead with COVID in 2 years. 36,000 are annually diagnosed in the United States with COVID. With AIDS. 36,000 people a year in the United States are diagnosed with AIDS. That many people are diagnosed every day in just one state with COVID, it seems. 1.2 million are infected right now in the United States with AIDS. See, it's so hard to talk about these two viruses. You know, the numbers, and then, of course, the South. The South is where a majority of the infections for both COVID and AIDS are taking place. And 15,000 people a year annually still die of AIDS in the United States, which, by the way, is at 15,000 people a year dying of AIDS in the United States, 365 days in the year. That's four people a day die from AIDS still. I mean, it's not the COVID deaths, but it's still, that's still, you know, those are numbers. And so here on World AIDS Day, well, we're all wanting to think about HIV/AIDS because four people a day still die from it. 35,000 people a year still contract it. And while all those numbers are frightening, we now have this other big bad virus over here, COVID. The numbers are just exponential. And now Omicron, of course. Welcome to Northern California, Omicron. What took you so long? Omicron's in Northern California, which means it's in America. It's here. We don't know yet how bad it gets. We don't know what it does to you that much. We really don't. But it's here, and it's coming for us, because that's what viruses do. Things that don't kill you mutate and try to kill you again, which is what that T-shirt should have read. And on World AIDS Day, I'm thinking about all the mistakes we made with HIV/AIDS, socially, politically, economically, and watching how we're making all the same mistakes with COVID, the exact same thing, which I'm sure we made with the Spanish flu and the Black Plague and all of it. It just seems humans are stupid when it comes to things like this. And when it comes to things like this, it appears that humans invariably always break down into two camps about it. Oh, there's like 30 or 40 factions in each camp, but there's two camps. The I believe, I comply, you know, I'm on board, or the I don't believe, I don't comply, I'm not on board. You're wrong. That's always been that way. 100 years ago, there was a debate whether to wear masks, whether to not wear masks, whether to close things down, whether to not close things down. Now, are the Republicans are threatening to shut down the U.S. government over mask mandates. Over mask mandates. These are people who are right now fighting in the Supreme Court today to overturn Roe v. Wade and take a woman's right to choose about her own body when it comes to birthing a child away from her. Taking her right away from her about whether she's going to have a child or not is okay with Republicans, but they will shut down the government if you tell them to wear a mask during a pandemic. Honey, this is where we're at. This is where we live. It's a strange freaking place, ain't it? We are in some wah-wah land, wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah land. And we learn nothing. And that's why today's theme of the show was It's the Same Old Effing Story, a song by Cyndi Lauper. Because this morning when I woke up and talked to my friend Thea Austin via text, I said to her, I am blessed. I'm alive. I'm healthy. I've got my condo. Ember got a clean bill of health from the vet today. She had 4 x-rays done. Her x-rays are beautiful. Her spine looks great. The space between her disc is great. All of her organs are the right size. They're all in the right place. There's no blockages. There's no obvious tumors. She did her annual physical. And this year, every other year, she gets x-rays. This year was her x-ray year. And her x-rays are great. Her blood work was great. She's great. And so I'm very happy about that. I'm very blessed. I'm blessed about that. My dog is in good health. I'm in decent health except for my aorta growing, and I don't need surgery like this year for that. So, okay, good. So let's keep moving. Outside of that, I'm relatively healthy. I'm, you know, a good weight. I'm going to lose 15 pounds and be a better weight. And I'm eating good food. I'm exercising a lot. A lot to be blessed for, a lot to be thankful for. But I was frustrated this morning because all it is the same old effing story. And that's killing us. And let me tell you what I mean, child. Today in the news, we are talking about the, I want to get the written name right, Oxford High School shooting, 4 dead kids. Ages 14 to 17. I'm sitting here worried about open heart surgery that I may have to have in the future. And I'm 59 now and I'm thinking about death. Like, oh my God, if you're lucky, you might have, you know, 30 years left, 35, 25. Sondheim was 91. So that's 32 years from now. You know, so if you're lucky, you might have 32 years. That's not that long. And so here I'm thinking about death at 91. They dying at 14, 15, 17. From being shot at school. Their crime was going to school in a society that allows easy access to guns for just about everybody. And this idiot 15-year-old killed them. Just killed them. But that's the same story. Over. Put in, you know, what name are we going to put in here? I was on site at Santee. I'll never forget when Andrew and I were coming home from the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego, where we had a lovely weekend. KFI knew we were on our way back, and there was a school shooting in Santee, and they called and said, where are you? And we said, San Clemente, I don't know, wherever. And they said, oh, you're close to Santee. We need you to go. There's been a school shooting. We're sending the van. You're going to go live as soon as you get there. You're going to meet so-and-so who's already on his way. You know, we were big-time radio, so it was like, okay. Andrew didn't want to go. Andrew actually and I had a fight in the car, like a lot, because our boss was telling us to go. And Andrew said, I don't want to go to a school shooting. I think that going and covering these glamorizes them. And I don't want to be a part of that. And I don't want to go. And I said, then don't be on air. Sit your ass in the car. Go to a restaurant, whatever. But we're going. This car is turning around and we are going to Santee. So we went. He did go on air, and he voiced his objections to it all, which is what he would do. And while we were there, firsthand, seeing the terror in the parents' faces as they were arriving, the shooting had just started when KFI called us. They heard it on the police scanner. And there was no media there already, or there was no one reporting on it yet or anything. So we got there before any news crews were set up, because we were on the 5 freeway. I mean, we were right there. So we get there and there's no command center set up yet. Kids are still running out of the school. The situation's been going on for about 10, 15 minutes. Probably like 10, more like 10, maybe 5 to 10 minutes. The kids are still running out the school. The guards run out. They're gathering at this little shopping center where we all were. They know there's gunshots. They heard gunshots. All the stories are starting to happen about, you know, they're dead or who's dead or whatever. So you can't believe that because no one really knows what's going on. Parents are starting to arrive that live close by because their kids have called and said, we just heard a gunshot. And so they've had 5 or 10 minutes and they're actually starting to arrive and they're panic stricken and don't know where to go to get their kids. And it, the emotion of that afternoon exhausted us because we were there as it was all unfolding, talking to kids, talking to parents. Then we went to the command center. We went to where the parents were being taken. Oh, and that was horrible. There was a place where parents without matched children, the island of misfit parents. And these were parents who couldn't get a hold of their kids. So they didn't know. Now, once you experience that firsthand and you're there on scene and you are hugging a mother who doesn't know where her daughter is, and you can empathize with that because you know how it would feel to have a loved one in this situation and not know where they were because you're standing in that situation. And so knowing what I know about school shootings, our first big week at KFI, we got to work at 1:30. We weren't supposed to go on until 3 o'clock. And we would get to work at 1:30. We got there and suddenly they're grabbing us. It's like a Hollywood movie. They're grabbing us and miking us up and they're ushering us towards the studio. And all of a sudden they're barking at me in my ear about Emiliano Limón is going to be going live with you in 8 minutes and blah, 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 blah. And here's the, and the news department's handing us printouts. Chris Little and Terry Ray Elmer are handing us printouts, just stacks of paper. And me and Andrew are like, WTF. And they said, there's a shooting going on right now in Colorado at a high school named Columbine. We have several students on cell phones ready to go on the air with you. The police are just now responding and starting to clear the campus. The shooters are still active. And we were thrown into the KFI studio and the lights came on. And suddenly it's KFI AM 640. I am Carell.
And I'm Andrew.
I missed that. Sorry, that took me.
And I'm Andrew.
And suddenly we were talking to a girl under her desk who heard gunshots. Her teacher had barricaded the door. They didn't know if it was safe to go out. They heard explosion. I mean, so for 4 hours without commercial interruption on KFI Radio Los Angeles, Andrew and I went live about and from basically Columbine, from our producers getting people on scene to be on the air with us. It was obviously something I will never forget. And so maybe when I hear about these school shootings, maybe I have just a little bit different take than you do. Because most of you haven't ever been at the scene. Most of you haven't actually talked to a student who just ran from gunshots and knew who the shooter was. At Santee, they knew who it was. They were telling, oh, it's so-and-so. And he, you know, we don't say their name. I don't say their names. And so I hear that same story over and over again, and it kills me. As it does anybody that was involved with a school shooting, because if you or anyone on Capitol Hill had been actually involved in a shooting like this, then you would do anything in the world to stop it, like Australia did, where the day after their mass shooting, they outlawed the weapons that did it. So that's my frustration this morning. The same story, and yet another school shooting, more dead children, 14, 15, 17. I see photos of myself around here when I was that age. And boy, I thought I knew it all. And so did you. And God, we were so young. Look at all the life. Think of when you were 15 and 17. And now think of yourself. And think of all the life in the middle. That's what those kids are never going to see. That's what they've been robbed of. So we've got the same old story, same old effing story, the virus of the week. AIDS has been the virus for the last 40 years. Of course, Ebola has snuck in a couple times. Now there's COVID. There was bird flu, avian flu. There seems to always be a virus of the week. And we just continue to not do much about it. We just continue to not amp up our response. I just watched this show on Hulu called Hot Zone with Juliana Margulies, season one. Season two is Daniel Day Kim. And it's about this very thing. And in season one, you know, Juliana Margulies has given the big 11 o'clock speech where she says, if the killer is out there and it is coming for us, this is not like a debatable fact. It's going to happen. Ebola will continue to change until we're starting to talk about Ebola like we are COVID. And if we don't get some sort of great response in place for this, we're screwed. Well, we're screwed on World AIDS Day. We still don't have an effective treatment for HIV/AIDS when it comes to curing it or even preventing it in terms of a vaccine, although we're getting close, I'm told. And COVID has thrown a new variant at us and countries are moving backwards. Japan is now, if you're booking a reservation, they've stopped all reservations into their country effective December something, like in a day or two. They're not accepting any more. You can't book a flight into Japan. And so a lot of countries are now going back to the lockdown. And that's the same old effing story. Why? Because we refuse to fix it. We refuse to fix it. School shootings, we refuse to fix it. And then, of course, abortion. Right now, they're back trying to, they might overturn Roe v. Wade because, again, they'll shut down the government over mask mandates, but they'll be fine with the Supreme Court that guts Roe v. Wade with the Mississippi abortion laws that they're probably going to allow to stand. And so, but ever since I can remember politics, abortion has been being fought about. Same old effing story. Gay rights are back up. Trans rights are back up. Political scandal. Chris Cuomo being fired because of information he gave his brother Andrew Cuomo when the scandal broke from his CNN sources. Why wouldn't he? He's his brother. If he had sources at CNN telling him stuff, why wouldn't he tell his brother? But whatever. I thought you wanted to become rich and privileged so you could be privileged. But whatever. And then how does the same old effing story affect your life? What does it matter that for your entire life now the news has been filled with the same story under a different guise, but the same story? What does that matter to you? It matters to you because while those same five or six stories that are always in the news are always in the news, the stuff that we should be talking about, should be doing, we're not. Have you heard any more about the taxing of the rich, or has that gone by the wayside? I bet you haven't heard much about that recently, have you? Have you heard much about the second part of the infrastructure plan, the Build Back Better plan? Has that passed yet? If you had to answer off the top of your head, has it passed, yes or no? You don't know. All that's happening behind the scenes is things are getting much worse up in Washington, D.C. Divides are happening deeper. Racism, anti-Semitism, open insurrection. And they're not being punished. That's new. That's not part of the... But it's part of the political scandal story that's always... And so there's always these same stories. The virus of the week. The gun violence of the week. And we never solve the problems. And so we just keep having the same seven stories in the news all the time. Political scandal, personal scandal, meaning men doing something weird. Political scandal, personal scandal, equal rights scandal. It's always the same thing. Black Lives Matter is the civil rights movement of 1960s. It's the Jim Crow. It's the Brown versus Board of Education. It's the Loving case for interracial marriage. It's all the same thing. It's all the same case. Why? Because it's all at its core racism. And we haven't solved that. Homophobia, transphobia, sexism, misogyny. Abortion laws are the ultimate misogyny. It's not women making them. So that's the ultimate misogyny right there. These are the same themes. Our news is like a bad dramatic play. with the same tropes over and over and over. And it's worn you out. It's eaten you up and spit you out. And with none of it being good, it's made you pessimistic. It's made you depressed. It's made you take fentanyl and opioids. It's made you turn to all kinds of news sources. It's done a lot. The same story amplified over and over in different iterations. Now, I would say you can beat it by turning off media, but you've got to know what's going on in the world around you. It's irresponsible to not. But in today's day and age, I got to tell you, that's a tough call. And that's a true story. It's a tough call nowadays to actually be an informed citizen, and that's a true story. True Story, the number one show on Netflix, with Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes looking like an out-of-prison person. He is not aging well, Wesley. But anyway, and Kevin Hart's a rich comedian, surprise, with a scandal, surprise. In the series, there is a super fan, and the super fan is portrayed, of course, as completely insane, crazy, and I'm not going to tell you what happens, but, I have to tell you, Andrew and I had those fans. I have them now, and Selena certainly had them. I have people that I know, that I have met, that have been fans of mine, where they could turn on me and kill me. And literally, like, try to kill me. I know that. And that's why radio stations have security people, and that's why TV, and that's because there's this line between liking a host, liking a star, liking a celebrity, and then feeling that something they've done is personal to you. That them not showing up at an event, or they see you and you go up to them and say, can I have a photo? And they're busy. And they say, I'm sorry, not right now. You know, some other time. I'm sorry. I just can't. And then all of a sudden that's personal to you. They didn't want to give you a photo. How dare they, after all you've done for them? I've experienced that. However, I will say that a majority of them are not as crazy as this show is painting them out to be. They're harmless, but when I say harmless, they're emotional and temperamental, and you can hurt their feelings. And they rant. I've had listeners that were very big supporters all of a sudden send me horrifying emails because they feel I betrayed them somehow. And I did something wrong. One of my opinions just betrayed them. And suddenly, or I didn't answer their email, or I didn't respond in time or something. And I've had people send me these, you know, how dare you? Oh, yes. When you are a public person and there are people that like you, you do run the risk that some are going to like you obsessively. But there's nothing you can do about that. Most of them are not horrifying, crazy people who want to kill you. Some do go off the edge and make you afraid, but they won't harm you. In this show, well, let's just say I've never met anyone quite like that, because I ought to run. I ought to run. All right. I am Carell. You be who you want to be. So I don't hurt anybody. Don't forget, all my social media is up and working. That means Instagram, Really Carell. Twitter, Really Carell. The name is K-A-R-E-L, and we put a really in front of it. ReallyCarell.com is the website. There's an app at the App Store. It's the dedicated CarellCast app. You go get it. You can watch all my videos, audio, all right there in the app for free. No, I do not take any of your personal data. Data. I will be back on Friday as we start this December, and I'm working on the new website and the new book and all these great things, upscaling the show and everything for you for the new year, so we can just build the brand bigger and better and get more interviews scheduled, all kinds of stuff. We'll be doing video with those people. A lot of exciting stuff, so stay tuned. Again, thank you all the Patreon subscribers, including Pat. Thank you. Pam, thank you. She's a new one from today. All right. Well, don't forget, social media is where you can find me. If you want to tweet me,
But don't get mad at me if I don't tweet you right back and go off the edge, get all obsessed and crazy. I tweeted you 12 hours ago. Why didn't you tweet me back? Try to kill me or something. I don't need all that.